Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Yedoye Travis.
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Yedoye, aka young dude who watches too much anime, aka old dude who watches too much anime, depending who you talk to. What's up, y'all?
Depending who you talk to, right?
How you doing?
Oh man, not much. You know, just how's New York? How's what's new over there?
Oh, it's all right. I just got back. I've been at my apartment mostly.
Okay. Where, what do you mean? You just got back from?
I was in
New York. You mean the streets of New York? Or you...
Yeah, I was on the streets of New York.
I just got
back home. I was in Butte, Montana, of all places.
Yeah. Okay. What were you doing in Montana?
I was in
biker
Montana.
Rally?
I was going to just hanging out with some of my biker friends. It was kind of a lot of us just kind of, you know, packed into a parking lot. Just, you know, shaking hands, hugging, kissing, you know, typical kissing biker shit. I was shooting a movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What was that like on set? Because I know, I mean, having friends and family in production, it seems like a lot more going, you know, a lot more work, especially for crew.
Yeah, it's I've been tested 4 times in the past week, I think.
Wow.
Just make sure I'm not sick. And there was a period where I was not allowed to leave my room. And also the hotel might have been haunted. So that, I think that was unrelated to, I think that would have been the case. That would have been the case regardless of COVID. But, you know, it was Just a little.
I mean,
extra.
It's basically the premise of The Shining. It's just that instead of a blizzard keeping you inside the hotel, it is the coronavirus pandemic. But you
it
still
was a
can't
coronavirus
go outside.
Coronavirus pandemic, and also a lot of racist people.
Hold
in,
on, hold on, Jack. We got a script going there.
Oh, is
the did, pin in that one?
Were you able to feel the local racism in Butte?
It was weird because I feel like because of COVID, Asian people are getting it harder than Black people right now. Right. And so there was an Asian dude on cast who definitely felt it. Jesus. I felt like people were being too nice to me. Like,
it's weird how that pendulum swings.
Yeah, like two people asked me for money on the street. And then I went back and talked to the rest of the cast. I was like, people asking you for money? And all of them were like, no. Nobody's asked any of us. I was like, oh. It's like this weird thing where they feel like they have to ask me because they're like, oh, dude, he's not like guaranteed to be poor anymore. It's not that. It's not like that.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Black people have money. Black people
it's
have
like,
money.
You're a rich person in my mind. I'm not racist.
Yeah. Also, one of them was Australian, which was very weird to me.
Like, so they were begging on the street and they were Australian.
It was a whole Australian man with blonde dreadlocks.
I was just going to ask if he had dreadlocks.
Yes, he absolutely did. He was exactly the type of person you think he was. And it just made me feel sad. I was like, you gave up health insurance and live in a mining town?
Yeah, in a place where your dreads aren't going to fly all the time. You know, like, you might be safer in Australia with those dreads.
Yeah.
That's got to be a rough climate to be unhoused in.
Yeah, it's probably pretty bad.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It was just like it was a very weird place. There was also one bar that everybody told me very specifically not to go into because nobody was wearing a mask. And I walked outside one day, and there was just one dude standing outside in this haunted ass town, two teeth in his mouth, and he looked at me, and I looked back at him, and he goes, "Hey man, you okay?" I was like, "No."
and then he points to the
bar that everybody told me to not go into, and he just goes, "You ever been in here before?" And I was like, "No, and I don't plan to." And wow. I kept moving.
Yeah.
All right. Think about it. Think about it.
I'm just all right,
saying. Sir, I will. I'll think about brushing my teeth as soon as I get back.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
It's a weird place.
Yeah. That's about what I would have expected.
How's the weather in New York? Are you guys still in shorts? Because we had people dunking on us from Brooklyn being like, oh man, it's fantastic.
Balmy.
You know what? Yeah. It's not bad. It's, I especially coming from like 19 degree weather is a
sure,
good time.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. You must be like, you're in a tank top now. Like,
oh yeah.
A reflective panel in a sun chair.
Oh yeah. I'm out shirt off, sitting on the roof. Just, tanning, but at, like as a bit,
right. Yeah,
it's not doing anything. It's just
just
to fuck with the Google Earth photographer.
Yeah.
Joelle, is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
This is so embarrassing. I was talking to the lovely Daniel before we got on. I have been researching a lot of Pokemon lately. You know, your combinations. How do they work? This is my stress reliever now. I got a Nintendo for myself. My brother bought Pokemon. And immediately I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do for my stress relief. There's no geopolitical analytics in here. I don't have to worry about race relations in this app. No one's making podcasts in here. It's just, you just catch a Pokemon and you fight another Pokemon and then you buy a cool outfit. And it's like the best fake retail therapy because I can't afford to do actual retail therapy anymore. Right. You know, Pokemon, that's what's happening.
Oh
in my
God.
World.
That's incredible news.
We're surviving. Yay.
So wait, what are the top Pokemon? I'm like, if we're going to talk Pokemon, let's power rank
them.
Glad
you asked the first follow-up question because I was going to equally be like, so, I mean.
So, tell us about these Pokemon.
Tell us more about
them. Listen, for the children out there, slash older adults who never got out of their child favorites, I'm really boosting up my Machamp. He's a fighter. He's got big boxing gloves. He's ready to go. A Slurpuff, which looks like whipped cream, is really, I like it because depending on what kind of fruit you give it, it turns into different Pokemon. So you get a variety of the same thing. And then I can't remember the name of my elephant, but I got it and it's cool and I love it.
Oh, nice. And this is on Switch?
Yes. Yeah, which again is just, it's amazing stress relief. It's really great when it's late and you're falling asleep. You pop it in and you get to bike all over little countrysides that look like London. It's wonderful.
That's heaven. Yeah. I read recently about, there was like a big, I'm like YouTubers I watched discussed it at length. But there was like a big Pokemon scandal where, bear with me, I guess Logan
Paul. Performance enhancing drugs.
Logan Paul, he's not the villain of the story, shockingly. Yeah. Logan Paul has a Pokemon dealer, which is a job you can have. And this Pokemon dealer arranged this big Pokemon deal, and then these guys paid $200,000 for a set of Pokemon cards, and then it turned out the Pokemon cards were fake. And now there's all these. It was a Pokemon fraud scandal, and I really loved watching it unfold because it was a bunch of doofuses with too much money being like, well, the cards are about to get here. And they were like live streaming it. They're like, the most expensive Pokemon deal ever. And they open the cards and they're like, well, these are clearly fraudulent.
They're like made of, of just like regular paper stock that you would get from Staples.
Yeah, it was just a pile of printer paper.
I just like to say that the game is $30 right now. It's on sale. You don't have to pay $200,000 for anything. There are no in-app purchases, to the best of my knowledge. Just go ahead and save your money. You know, invest that in something worthwhile. Give it to a child in need. Please don't spend that kind of money on paper. It doesn't make sense.
It simply doesn't. Don't do anything that Logan Paul has already done. I thought that's been a rule of thumb for years.
Generally, good idea.
A perfect guideline.
I do wonder, like, for sports cards and Pokemon cards and, like, physical things like that, I do feel like we're reaching a point where, I mean, we can make any video, make people seem like they're saying things that they haven't said, like, with perfect precision. And, like, you know, sneakers, like the one of the ways that people are getting quote counterfeit sneakers is like the people who make those in other countries are just like, here, I'm going to make a couple more, and they won't go through Nike, but you will get the exact same thing. And those are like counterfeit, but it's like, what? I don't know. I feel like the philosophical question of like what counterfeit is going to arise more and more, especially with regard to Pokemon cards. That seems like a pretty easy one to knock off, but maybe I'm missing something.
I understand the collectible. You're definitely not missing anything. The collectible aspect of it is what's keeping people going. And like, it's the belief that's like keeping people connected, right? Like, no, mine is real. Like, so it depends on how you value, you know, I guess the subject of the thing. Cause like with baseball cards was like, oh, that was like a moment in history. Like they printed it while this guy was in run, you know, and now that's where he retired. So there are no new base. So if you really like that player, then you have to have that card. That I somewhat understand that. I don't quite understand, like, to your point, like, especially with the use of a Pokemon card is like in a game. So as long as you have the correct information in front of you, you can play the game. So it's bizarre. But, you know, I also know people spend like a ton of money on like rare Monopoly sets. And I don't know. I think when you have too much money, you're just looking for something to brag about. And you're like, I bought this like incredible rare thing, and now you have to value me and my collection as well. It's a weird cyclical thing.
Like we were talking before we started recording about the Dunkies Market, the Dunkin' Donuts shop that they just opened that has tandem bicycles. It has a Dunkin' Donuts bathrobe. Like,
I mean, that's a practical
and it's
purchase.
Immediately sold out. Like everybody just bought all of the Dunkin' Donuts bathrobes.
That's more, like, I mean, I
couldn't you
not
like,
to,
just do,
not to jump to their defense.
yeah.
as I always will, for Dunkin' Donuts. I feel like they're marketing, it's gonna sound like I'm being paid to say this, I'm not, I think their marketing has gotten so weird and savvy recently, where they're like, okay, we're an old ass like donut brand that is mostly known for like really mean moms going to there a lot. Like that is their consumer base, right. But then they're just kind of like, they're definitely trying to hit the teen market, because they gave Charlie D'Amelio her own Dunkin' beverage.
Yeah.
And as a regular Dunkin' customer, I'm a very mean mom. But like, there's now teenagers at Dunkin' Donuts all the time. It's like you can tell Charli D'Amelio brought her fucking TikTok base to Dunkin' Donuts. And now they're releasing merch like it's sneaker drops. Like it's just, they're trying some stuff out. It seems to be working. Also, the Charli D'Amelio drink has so much dairy in it that I like... was shitting for days. It's for young people.
it's for the youngs.
It's for teenagers only.
Yeah.
It's not for adults.
That's so interesting that Dunkin' Donuts, it seems almost random that Dunkin' Donuts is the brand that like got this culture. Like McDonald's tried really hard with their like Travis Scott meal and Jay Blatt.
Did that work?
It definitely did.
They sold out in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. It, like, the children loved it. And I live across the street from a McDonald's. There was a line around the block for like probably a solid week to get into McDonald's to get the stupid meal, which is already on the menu. It's
what?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Wait, that
is
worked?
It for the box? Like,
it
is
did.
There a special
it definitely
packaging?
Worked.
Like, how would you sell out of the meal? Because is there a meal? Like, is there a box that comes with it?
Okay, so the Travis thing came in two parts, right? So first there was online merch, right? So they had, the jackets and stuff. So all of that stuff sold out. But then McDonald's had a shortage of, like, the burger. I think it was some of the condiments that go on his specific burger. They were, like, running out. They couldn't keep it in stock because so many people had come through to purchase this burger. I didn't get the meal, but I do think it came in its own, like, Cactus Jack style box, but don't keep that. It had food in it. Gross.
Right. Like, your house is just going to smell like a cheeseburger for the rest of your life.
Yeah. This is mint conditioned Travis Scott meal, guys.
You're like,
untouched by human hands. And it
my favorite
like
product
shit.
They had was a Cactus Jack McDonald's lunch tray. So, you know, the brown trays that you have at McDonald's? Yeah. It's that was Cactus Jack. You can buy it for like $15. And I was like, this is tempting, but no.
Right.
Also, like, steal it for no bucks, because those things are the easiest things to steal.
These kinds of grifts are not going to work forever, but they're definitely working right now.
Yeah.
Like, you have nothing to look forward to. I think, honestly, that was like half of the sell. It was like, something new? Yeah, I mean, I have to have it. It's just new.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just interesting that we are, it's almost like we're going in two opposite or seemingly contradictory directions, whereas one, like, consumerism or like materialism is breaking down. Like, you can replicate anything easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, we're like going super hard on like, okay, there are only 5 McDonald's bathrobes that we all need to get because it has the special tag in it. And it's almost like we're having a end of materialism, like, panic moment where we have to like really dig in our heels and be like, this matters.
As somebody who just bought 2 suits from Beyonce,
I was like, listen,
where will I wear these suits? I'm not going anywhere, literally anywhere, not to dinner, not to a movie, but I have these suits.
Yeah.
I mean, later.
I'll come clean. I bought the Dunkin' duvet.
Awesome.
It'll be on my bed come Christmas.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk the dreaded news.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. All right, let's talk about what this lockdown is doing to our brains. Miles, you brought a article from the BBC about a kind of a study, or I don't know, were they using science or speculation?
Well, they are using science, and then just what neuroscientists just know to be true about how our brains work. And
yeah,
like, and a lot of people, like experts themselves, experiencing it too. I've noticed
this
among, like, older family.
Yeah.
Like my grandfather, he's 93, and he used to go to like his church social group and do shit like that. But it's all old people that he hangs out with. So that's gone now. And he's like less talkative. I mean, it's very pronounced, they say, in like especially like convalescent homes and old folks homes, for lack of a better term. And so they're saying, you know, the lack of socializing and isolation is definitely a contributing factor to how like our memories are even being formed and stored. So, the isolation part, I think most people can figure out because, yeah, like we've completely changed the rhythm of our days. But, a lot of things is like it's these smaller conversations where if we don't feel, any kind of talk you have by the refrigerator, a water cooler, by the elevator, walking in somewhere, walking out somewhere, like we're always just like talking. Like we always just have something to tell, like talk about. We can talk about what we did last night, what we're doing this weekend, what even some dumb shit you talked about your friend with on the phone. And that repetition of stories, apparently they're saying that helps to actually keep our memories sort of consolidated and organized within our minds. So like they call them episodic memories. So right. If we're missing on that socializing aspect, those things don't crystallize in the same way they do. And like, oh, I'm telling my weekend story three times today, you know, and like that momentum helps build our memories. And then when we do get the chance to chat, they're saying like, because we are isolated and we're not doing as much as we normally do, we also have fewer stories to tell when we see each other. Like, it's just kind of like, we're almost like, yeah, how's it been? Like, I don't, like, everyone's kind of in the same thing where we look at the same, we sit in the same place, look at the same screen, do the same thing. And they're, because of like this sort of cycle of very little change, it slowly works its way into, you know, affecting our ability to form and recall memories. Cause even like as something as simple as people feel like, holy shit, like normally I can remember my fucking teachers from kindergarten on. I can tell you every single fucking teacher I had. And it's like the other day, it took me 15 minutes to remember who this teacher was or whatever. And that's all part of just kind of like we're not fully using all of those faculties as much as we can be as a result of this lockdown.
Yeah, I was saying, I think early on, like I had the same feeling as when I would always park in the same parking garage. And like after, it was like 6 months of parking in the same parking garage, because like all those memories just like kind of collapsed on each other, I could never remember where the fuck my car was, because it was just all like one endless expanse of memories of that parking garage. I feel like same deal with now, just like being at home, constantly working, recording from home. You just don't have those events that get your heart rate up a little bit, where you like, you know, go somewhere, drive to work, get mad at the person who cut you off.
Right.
Go to work, tell people about the person who cut you off, you know, just dumb shit that we take for granted that is like what, you know, our brain is meant to have that social interaction. I'm loving the hell out of not having to, you know, because I have social anxiety, not having to be anxious around people all the time, but I don't think it's good for my health and for my mental health.
Yeah. That anxiety is good long term. Yeah. I feel like this past week has been like the first, maybe like one of two times I've left New York, and definitely the only time I've left my home for an extended period. And I feel like it's the most, and granted it was last week, but I feel like it's just the most vivid string of memories that I've had in the past 6 months, probably.
Well, yeah, because that's what it is when we're just isolated, and we've, especially for people who work from home, we don't have these cues that we normally have, like even commuting, right? Like you use your hippocampus to like navigate the earth to get home to your destination. And when you don't do that, that we're starting to like, we're using that less. And then also like everyone's on the same, we sit in the same chair, looking at the same Zoom meetings, talking to the same people, like that also blends around. And like this neuroscientist saying, it's like you need black keys on a piano or else you don't know where the fuck you're at if it's all white keys.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with our memories, because we're not really punctuating things properly. Like, yeah, they're there, but our way to differentiate is completely lost because we don't navigate like the roads like we used to. If we do things, it might be the same thing. So a way to get around that is something like as simple as like if you walk your dogs or you go on walks, go a completely fucking different route. Cause most of the time we'll walk the same fucking route just to be like, oh, it's time to do my walk, or I'm going to go here. Just do shit like that. Because the more you're putting yourself in different space, you're now looking at new shit. You might hear different shit. It's just like these subtle changes too, that can help go a long way. And even if you're stuck at home and you really can't go outside, like they say, even just try something completely different. Like if you've never fucked with puzzles, like just fucking like give yourself something to try too, because the more we can break up the monotony of it, that's just going to help sort of give our, you know, lockdown lifestyles a little more texture that we can, you know, still remember things. Because if you said something to me about May, the month of May, I couldn't tell you a fucking thing.
Nope.
Like, I don't, because we used to be like, oh yeah, because that was 2 months before the trip that I normally go on, which is in June. But because we don't have any of that, it's really important that we are giving ourselves like enough things to stimulate our minds, even though we're comfortable, but we still need that flexibility with our brains.
Yeah. I started skateboarding at 29. And the last thing I remember before that is getting diarrhea in Ghana.
it's too much palm oil.
Yeah. No, I ate beach meat. I ate meat on the beach.
I ate beach meat in Ghana too. I had goat on a skewer.
Oh yeah, you had suya?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty good.
That's what I had. That's what I had.
Yeah. And people were like, "You want to do that?" I'm like, "I don't know. They're eating it. I'm good."
Yeah. You get sick?
No. The thing that I got when I was in Ghana was just the amount of palm oil. Like, I wasn't used to palm oil.
Oh yeah.
Being in a lot of food, so that was, I think that was the one thing I had to get used to, is the amount of palm oil that's used in cooking and stuff.
Yeah, that's been my whole life. I think I just, like, I hadn't been to Africa since I was 16. I went to Nigeria, and I think my body just lost all the enzymes or whatever, or maybe it was just undercooked. I don't know.
Yeah, either way, right.
It's always funny telling people I got a stomach virus, and then I say it was in Ghana, and they get so much more concerned.
We're like, oh God! Like, did you have visions?
Oh my God! Did you? Yeah. Did you like see
visions?
God?
Yeah. No.
No.
Don't our cells and our body like completely swap out like within a period of 6 years?
Seven.
Yeah. That's wild. We're just like completely new organisms 7 years on.
7 to 10 years. Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
I wish I knew when that was happening so I could be a little more on top of it. You're like, yo, man, I'm about to get my whole new cell shit up in about 2 months, bro. Let's talk.
You know, when it's all reset, you're just like,
right. Yeah, you're like, trust me, I will get to this project. I just need my shit to reset, bro. While my cells need to cycle out.
That'll definitely be a spa treatment in the future where you like go and they just like accelerate it. So like get all your cells switched out. So the,
let me go re up right quick.
Yeah. Oh shit, I like broccoli now. That's wild.
Yeah.
Cuz I feel like that's the same that's the same time period they say your sense of taste like evolves over. It's like every 7 to 10 years you You start liking different foods.
By 20 I liked mushrooms finally.
Yeah.
I hated mushrooms till I was 20, and that makes sense around if we're going by 7s and 10s. And
yeah.
Damn, that's wild. I started doing mushrooms when I was like 15.
Oh no, the psilocybin. I was fucking with before that. Oh. Yeah. But put that shit on a pizza. Oh, man.
Let's talk about ambient TV. There's a there's a piece that I really enjoyed in The New Yorker. They've written you up before, Jamie. You might have heard of them, The New Yorker. they were writing about Emily in Paris and kind of how their description of Emily in Paris was very dystopian, but they overall were saying that it reminds them of like the rise of ambient music, like the Brian Eno thing where he made music that he considered as ignorable as it is interesting, and like that these TV shows are basically designed to be background music. Like nothing, the plot is incredibly thin on purpose, like so that you can miss half of it and still just kind of have a sense of what's going on. I've always used sports this way, like as a thing that you can just have on in the background and not really pay any attention to. And evidence of that is like I can have sports on and my kids don't give a shit about it because it like won't suck them into a TV coma. Literally everything else is because it's bad television. But they're making the point that this whole movement, like they were talking about other Netflix reality shows that like the Taco Chronicles Dream Home Makeover, they really go in on. I haven't seen that, but apparently very bland.
I don't. Joelle, did you watch any of Emily in Paris? I binge watched
Emily in Paris. Let me talk about it. Okay, I love we call it ambient television. My crew calls it depression TV, which is like I can't afford to get emotionally invested in anything right now. Like the world is already too much, right? But I need something on the TV because then otherwise I'm just alone with my thoughts and I don't want that either. That's not a good recipe for me to get through this evening. So Emily in Paris, no, definitely not a great show. I don't know what's happening with any of the fashion in there. It's a hot mess.
It looks like 2006. You're like, what year is this?
Who did this and why? I don't know. I don't care about any of the characters. I was surprised anyone could like develop a heated emotional reaction to it. There was a lot of discourse and they're like, Emily's so rude for going to Paris and shoving her American ways in their face. I'm like, that's literally the plot of the show. So if you don't like that, you should have tuned out after episode 3. But yeah. it was perfect for me because I was just like, okay, it's just there. And I can be on my phone scrolling Twitter, which is what I really want to be doing anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's not silent. And it's great. I really feel like we perfected this TV in the 90s. Friends, peak. Friends is peak depression TV. It's peak ambient television. Nobody changes. Nobody grows. Nothing changes about the status of anyone's relationship, whether they're together or not. It doesn't matter. It's just a bland, blank slate. And I think that there's really, truly value in this kind of television. What bothers me is when we try to either escalate it or de-escalate. When we try to escalate it into something more than it is, which is really what I think what happened with Emily in Paris. I think people were bored and were like, I can rag on this show. Wonderful. But it's a vital aspect to my life. I really enjoy, I think, Great British Bake Off. Maybe has a little more emotional stakes in it for some people. But mostly it's just nice people baking. Awesome. They're really sorry when they have to let someone go. Excellent. Anything that's not going to bring me up too high or down too low, that's exactly what we're looking for.
It's literally, I feel like depression TV, it was nice of them to call it ambient TV.
Truly.
Right. But it feels like, I mean, even like Great Depression media where you're like, this is about nothing. And everyone
Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Right. it's pleasant. You don't feel like you're going to turn around and something horrible is going to be happening. Like if you were watching, for example, the news, like I really hope that I had like a very abrupt fantasy when I saw this piece about ambient TV, and it's that the creator of Emily in Paris releases a like scathing response being like, how dare you say Emily in Paris was about nothing? In many ways, it was about everything. And like, they just had no idea it was a really bad TV show. And this is how they found out that it was only number 2 because everyone was so sad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is how I feel about, like, Netflix has really perfected the algorithm, right? Of making a show that you don't necessarily have to be invested in, but it's like, I love the way they've like drawn like their new show Jingle Jangle. It's like if you were sort of into High School Musical, but you want some black representation in your Christmas shows and, you know, you like a little bit of comedy, but you're not going to laugh too hard because that's not what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. It's so straight down the middle. You can watch it with your conservative family and no one's going to fight. Listen, it's genius. It's necessary. And then, you know, every once in a while you get a Queen's Gambit and you're like, cool. Great, something I can actually sink my teeth into when I'm in the mood for it. But we need like 700 hours of ambient television to get through whatever the next like 8 months is going to be before we can reemerge into society.
I enjoyed, Julia and the Phantoms was fun. That was like, I feel like a cute, underrated show that was like very High School Musical-y, but like it's just cute. Cute shit. I like cute shit that isn't going to remind me of my mortality.
Exactly.
That's what's on the menu.
Yeah, the point that they like their description of ambient TV is kind of that it basically crowds out the noise in your mind and just like makes everything feel like go down smooth, basically. It like smooths out, like whereas when we first had like streaming TV and you could like choose a show to watch and it would be like a show that like was engrossing and that was what we valued. Now it's more just like, here is a time portal to an hour from now in the future. You just put on your, like, open up Netflix and put this show on and you'll be in the future, which is kind of a dark way to think about human existence at this point. Yes.
I also have found comfort in like all these, I feel like I talk about them all the time now, but like these YouTube channels that are like by funny people who are they're talking about nothing. They're talking about like Pokemon card scandals for 45 minutes. And you're just like, oh, this is just engrossing enough. Right. I don't really need to listen, but like good for them for caring. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's nice. It feels not horrible. That's what I mean when I say nice.
Yeah, they highlight TikTok as the ultimate in ambient TV because it just is a stream of kind of passive, you know, unremarkable videos that just go down easy.
It absolutely depends on what videos you're enjoying on TikTok.
Right.
I was like, that could go a lot of ways.
If your stream is just those, like, five dance move dance things, then sure, ambient and endless. Right. But they're, some people are being creative and some people are being very weird and some people are being, you know, weirdly political. Yeah, I would say go to TikTok looking for your ambient television fix. But I do think that it's not a streaming issue either. I wouldn't blame this on like, oh, this is what streaming has come down to now. I think it's absolutely just a sign of the times. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people cannot engage. Like, I started watching Halt and Catch Fire, which is stunning. It's such good television. I got through season one, and then I'm like, oh, man, they are really dealing with some real-life issues here. I'm going to have to put this on the back burner and turn around to it later. Like, they're like, oh, financial crisis coming up. I was like, no, back out of it. Right. So, yeah, I think if we were watching on network, and to be fair, let's look at what networks are coming out with right now in the middle of the pandemic. We've got two versions of The Masked Singer, one that's just lip syncers, where they're trying to see if you're the actual person singing or not. Like, this is the content we need to get through. And I really think TV is doing a good job for us, even if it's not intellectually stimulating. There's too much to do. We don't need to be any further intellectually stimulated at this point.
Did we talk about? Did we ever talk about Mickey Rourke on The Masked Singer on Zeitgeist?
We have a big Masked Singer blind spot on this show. Yeah.
I am here to say, I'm behind on Masked Singer. I'm not going to say I stopped watching this season, but I had to stop watching after I got to the Mickey Rourke episode because it was so good that I'm like, nothing is going to top this for me for months. So what happened was this. It's still so funny. Okay, so it's like the first round of Masked Singer, which takes like 4 weeks. But they bring out a celebrity who's dressed like a big purple gremlin. And he sings, oh, what did he sing? Whatever he sang, he didn't really know the words. and it wasn't good. And the whole panel couldn't guess who it was. Nick Cannon gets up on stage to have people guess, and then whoever's inside the gremlin is like, no more. I'm like, he quits The Masked Singer after his first performance. He knows he's gonna lose. He rips off the gremlin's head. It seems like it wasn't, I mean, it might have been pre-planned, but Nick Cannon, if so, best acting performance of Nick Cannon's life. Because he was like, wait, you can't quit. He unmasked himself. It was Mickey Rourke. Everyone lost their shit. And he was like, yeah, they asked me to be on and I watched two or three episodes and I said, why not? But this costume is really heavy and I want to go home. And he just left.
All of us. Yes. I did not know how it went down. I just saw the reveal on Twitter the same night, right? So I just see Mickey Rourke's tiny head. His head's not really tiny, but in a giant suit, it looks small. And he's covered in like purple fuzz and he's like a little sweaty. And I'm like, how did they get Mickey Rourke to come on this show? And that to me was the funny part. But knowing that he was just like, oh no, I have to bow out today, is so much sweeter. It's everything I think everybody wishes they could do. It's just like, you know what, no, I'm taking this human costume off, I have to go home now.
I had no idea it was his first performance. That's so amazing.
It was his first performance and he unmasked himself. It was, I mean, there was a lot of shit going on. It was peak election stuff going on. So I feel like it really slipped under the radar, but it there's clips of it online. It was like truly the best television I've seen in a really long time.
Listen, at the iHeart studio, we have Snooki's text, her infamous text from the season on the wall on a giant flag. And now I really feel like we need to have Mickey Rourke with his head off, you know, just hang up right there. It's iconic level television. So that is amazing.
It is that great of television. Because when you just hear the voice escape, like right before he rips the gremlin head off, he goes, no more. And
you're just like, Mickey Rourke is all of us.
It's the greatest clip you'll ever watch. It's like pure serotonin.
Apparently Netflix is going to try to be like a network. They're going to do like a streaming, like a linear version of Netflix. So that's interesting to me.
Like
you just turn on Netflix and there's something on that everybody is watching.
This is something I've somewhat been asking for, and I think it absolutely feeds into the ambient depression TV conversation of like, I don't want to have to make a choice. I came here to put something on the TV and walk away. And if you're like me, you have like five shows in rotation that you're like for me, it's like King of the Hill. Like, I guess I could watch more of that anytime. Like, I will absolutely do some more Bob's Burgers. Girlfriends is on somewhere. The Game. Yes. Crazy drama. So I feel like, but I still think, I don't understand why no streaming service is listening to the internet, because the internet has been begging for playlist style streams forever.
We're like, decision.
What if I just put all five of my shows in there and you just shook it up and were like, here's episode 5 from season 6 and I just watched that. Like, that is honestly the dream. I don't trust Netflix. Netflix is going to do what any smart business person would do, which is like, here's our new show. We hope you get hooked to it.
Right.
I don't want to watch your new show. I don't watch something I watch 8,000 times, so I don't have the anxiety of having to figure out what's going to happen next.
Exactly.
I just want to know.
Yeah, they will totally fuck it up, though.
They will. Like, you're just like, I did not want to watch The Holiday, and you know that.
You knew that.
Netflix. And now I'm 45 minutes into it because I couldn't find the remote, and I'm hooked. God damn it.
Just a PSA to everyone. You don't need to watch The Holiday. I took that L for us all. It's not worth it.
I'm thinking about watching Jingle Jangle and just doing like a live tweet of it, because the fact that it's not named after the drug that's on the Archie series Riverdale on the CW, but it does share the same name. Jingle Jangle. In Riverdale, Jingle Jangle is like their hard drug. It's like the heroin of Riverdale.
That's the worst name for a hard drug.
It's terrible, but it's funny. Listen, they box a bear in prison, Jack. Someone brought a bear into a prison, put it in a boxing ring, and then had one of the stars fight it. Like, the show is unhinged, but in the best possible way. I'm curious, like, if there is any correlation between the drug Jingle Jangle on Riverdale and Jingle Jangle, the comedic hip-hop musical Christmas special on Netflix. I feel like there's got to be some good meaty discourse in there somewhere.
I was in on Jingle Jangle the second I learned Forrest Whitaker's character was named Geronicus Jangle. I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch that.
Holy shit.
The trailer alone is enough. The trailer is like, I have to. Keegan Michael Key plays the villain. And like, what? In what world?
Sounds incredible. Is it a series or a single?
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Okay, I'm in. I'm already watching it right now. all right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, There's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. What is something from your search history that you don't want us to know about?
I mean, I'm pretty open about all of my, the things that I do search, but I am a little bit embarrassed, that it's 2 weeks after Halloween and my search history is so full of Halloween stuff. I just can't get enough of spooky stuff.
That's all. What do you mean? Like you look like you want to buy spooky stuff? Like looking at spooky shit to put in the house?
You know, I'm goth and you guys knew that. You guys accepted that. I'm a goth American. I do want some spooky stuff in my house. I do have a couple spooky things. Like I have a large kimono on a wall. It had a blackout like a week ago and it was very creepy. Stuff like that. So the thing that I have been, I think the weirdest thing that I've searched or still keep searching is this thing called Jimmy. I'm trying to pronounce it right, but it's Halloween costumes that are like very like mundane and like specific. It's like a Japanese trend called Jimmy.
Yeah. Jimmy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like just meaning like subdued, like just plain.
Totally. Just like Halloween costumes of like someone who has too many pens in their pocket or someone who's like waiting in line, but they're like busy to go somewhere else.
Oh my God. I didn't even that sounds so, yes, like a very Japanese bit to just be like, no, these are Jimmy. Like, very smundane.
It's like someone who dressed up as like, oh, I dress up as someone who has a lanyard and it's flipped the wrong way.
That's incredible. Oh, guy who can definitely tell the difference between good and bad coffee.
Exactly. Oh, have to explain it is pretty much my favorite thing.
Your search has ruined my day because now this is all I'm going to be looking at.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some of these are super brilliant. Like they it's not always just like super mundane. Like one of them is a woman with her face painted as a standard Zoom background, like a little piece of a standard Zoom background, and her costume is that weird thing that sometimes happen with Zoom meeting backgrounds. And then they have like bystanders from a famous frame in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. They just have like a dude from the background of that.
Oh, awesome. You fuck with JoJo?
Oh, I'm just looking at this.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely, Jack does.
Jack is on that JoJo.
Jack loves Golden Wing.
I see his JoJo memes he'd be posting.
You know me. What is something you think is underrated?
This might not be underrated for most people, but in my life, it was underrated. Having the proper storage system. I am a messy person. I come from a line of messy people. As my dad said about my mom, she's the messiest person I've ever met. And it's not that she's slothful. She just doesn't know how to organize and doesn't know how to like purge. And so I know I sound like an adult blaming my mom for something. Maybe it was not her job to pass this along to me, but somehow I just like never accrued the knowledge and the know-how to be an organized person who doesn't have just clutter on like every horizontal surface. It's just a thing that I don't know. Like my husband is not, he's also messy, but it's not as bad as me. I just don't know how to do it. But anyway, there was this article I read on The Cut and it was like, here's how I organize my small bathroom. And I actually have a pretty good sized bathroom, but I bought some of the under cabinet storage drawers that she recommended and I put them in the under the sink area. And all of a sudden, everything that was just a big pile of crap before is like neatly organized. And when I open it, I just feel this sense of calm wash over me. And I'm like, oh my God, this is how people do it. My right. problem, oh, yeah. in addition to hoarding too much crap, my problem is that I've just never, I don't have the right shelves and drawer. Like the right kind of storage system can make your space, again, I'm saying something everyone knows, the right kind of storage system can make your space not feel totally out of control. And I've just never done that before.
One counterpoint to that is my wife and I are both very messy people who are very like ADD. And we have found that we have a problem with clutter from organizational products. Like we have container store shit like everywhere. We have probably 30 books about like living with ADD without like medication. Like, yeah, it can be a problem if you don't stick to it. So it is good. It's good that like really making a plan and sticking to it as opposed to just having drawers upon drawers and like keeping the ones when they break because you bought like some cheap plastic shelving.
Isn't that the most beautiful like poetry in the world when you're just like laying in a pile of depression books like, that are just like spine uncracked and you're like any day now.
Yes. I have a book called Clutter's Last Stand that I've never opened. It is clutter.
That's a Custer reference?
Yeah, it
that
is.
That fucking rules. Clutter's what last stand. What is that?
Who is the audience?
Just me.
For the joke.
It's just me.
Someday.
I am going to have to go out and buy that book now, unfortunately, for my household. What is something you think is underrated?
The answer is specifically tied to my dog, which is that I think Chihuahuas are... Ooh. Very much underrated. I have an 8-pound black Chihuahua, and they get a really bad rap, and that's because most people who own Chihuahuas aren't very good at training them. But she's amazing. She hikes 8 miles with me. Well, 8-pound body hikes will like do 8 miles. I'm tired at the end of it, and she's like, "No, I'm still ready to go." Wow. She's super trainable. I've recently taught her to put away her toys. I have to do each individually. What? But she will, like, I say, like, take it, she'll take it, and I point to the basket where we put her toys, and she'll drop it in there. Like, these dogs are amazing, and I don't know why they get hated on so much. It's really unfortunate.
I'm sure, as someone who, like, loves already, you've confessed you are into zoology. So yes. As part of you being like, I can make this work. Like, I know enough about all this.
I can make any of it work. Yeah.
Right, because I feel like a lot of people just sort of get, if they're not used to training a dog or like how that works or something, like they give up very easily, and then you get the runaway train effect where it's like, I don't know, I think my Chihuahua's in here. I don't know, check, or is everything ripped up? Oh yeah, the dog's in here then. Or like, oh, they shit on your pillow that you were sleeping on? Oh, that's weird. But yeah, do you get like, what are you using? Like a clicker method and just treat positive reinforcement? How do you?
Teach her a new trick, I will generally use a clicker because she actually responds relatively well to it.
Okay.
She's not one of those dogs where I can just like, you can show them a thing and then they'll mimic you. Like there are super dogs that can do that. She's not like that. But the clicker works well with her. And just catching the trick. So if she does something that I want her, that I like, then I will praise her like crazy. Like it's a party in this apartment if she does something great. And then she'll figure it out and she'll try to recreate that moment. And then
you praise that more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could see the amount of just toys around me right now, I could use, I'm taking notes right now for how to train my 2 and 4 year old to do
2 and 4 year old
humans. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I, cause actually I was talking to my wife yesterday about how, like, as far as like catching a trick and then praising a specific behavior, like it is actually quite similar with very young children, right? Like you praise them when they do something that's really good and you just like catch them in the act and they try and recreate it cause they know it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that stops working after a while, but when they're young,
or you reinforce the wrong behaviors that you take into adulthood and you're like, oh, I meant to be passive around this kind of person because that's how I was being like, oh, good for you. If someone tells you to come here and, you know, do you do that? That's okay. The other thing I want to know about Chihuahuas is I like Chihuahuas, but their big ass skulls kind of freaked me out. Like, I'm always looking at him like, yo,
yeah,
what
the dome
is up?
Skull?
Yeah, like, yeah, what's yeah, yeah. up with your skull piece, Chihuahua?
Yeah, it's weird. She actually, so there are two types of Chihuahuas.
Okay.
She's not a purebred. She's a rescue from Texas. But there are two types of Chihuahuas. One has like a dome skull and the other one has more of like a flat skull. So mm-hmm. she's a flat skull Chihuahua.
Gotcha. Okay.
I agree with you. The dome skull is weird.
No, you know, no shade to dome skulls, you know, but for me, maybe not my cup of tea.
Yeah, no, I get you. I feel you.
Yeah. It's just something, it looks uncomfortable. Like when you see like the trembling Chihuahuas that have like the dome
oh, yeah.
skull, because you're like, is
oh,
your
yeah.
head about to explode? Is yeah. that why you're shaking? Because that's yeah. what it looks like to me.
So I will tell you that the trembling is one major downside of this particular animal. Like, she does it all the time. If she's stressed out, if she's cold, which is a lot of the time, she will shake. And that I do, like, kind of wish that wasn't a thing that she did. But you know what? I'm cold all the time, too. So if I'm cold, I know she's cold. So we help each other
right.
out, you know?
Yeah.
There
we
you
alert
go.
Each other to this environmental problem that we're facing.
She's probably thinking about you. She's like, oh, every time I get in her arms, so cold.
And Jamie... I noticed on Twitter that you've been, you tweeted, a truly cursed, Christmas tree ornament that, I can't believe exists. And you are telling me that there are more of these is what I'm
yes.
gathering.
So this year is, my first year living with my partner and living in a place that a Christmas tree could sort of fit. So I'm like, have been shopping for like a fake apartment-y sized Christmas tree. So that is how I came across these ornaments. It appears that thousands of them have been sold, and they're all about 2020. I'm going to drop some of them into the chat and then just kind of describe them. But just keep in mind for people listening that every word I'm about to say is in a different font. And that it's accompanied by a cute little clip art. Did you get my first one?
Yeah.
I'd like to walk you through this one. It says 2020. And I have to imagine this has to be the size of a dinner plate because it says so many things. It says, shop online, wash those hands, clean and organize. What day is it? Binge watching, Zoom. What's your temp? That one's sinister. Stay home, curbside pickup. Home workouts, survive the TP shortage. That is also very harped on, is the TP shortage. Face masks, flatten the curve. YouTube, game nights. And my
YouTube.
Favorite. And then it just says global pandemic. And
yes.
that's an ornament you can put on your tree if you... And then here's another one. They're all
sorry. Real quick, YouTube,
yeah. Any questions?
What is
I designed
YouTube?
This.
Is that some new thing that the pandemic gave us? YouTube.
So as the designer of these ornaments, I'm really hoping we can get some organic interest in the parent market in YouTube via these ornaments. So I'm hoping we can really get everyone excited about YouTube right in time for the
this
holidays.
Is such a
can
great...
I just say how much I hate this? I mean, I just couldn't hate it more. I hate that this is like the but first coffee of a global pandemic with
yes.
a death toll. It's
yes.
so cutesy. It's like, this is like something you'd make of with like inside jokes from your family reunion in 1998. Like, this is making
yeah.
me want to barf.
That
yeah.
is
and kill someone.
That's the font game being delivered here. It's very like wine o'clock kind
yes.
of graphic
yes.
design. So the next one is says a year to remember. This one's formatted like a checklist, but there is a lot of clip art. A year to remember. Toilet paper shortage, check. Mask wearing, check. Hand sanitizer, check. Drive-by parties, check. Curbside pickup, work from home, quarantine, travel ban, social distancing, online school, sports canceled, and worldwide pandemic, check.
And then
who's
the 2020,
list is this?
It looks like ZOZO. So it
ZOZO. Yes,
like,
yeah.
It's real Led Zeppelin-y.
Who can remember? Who can forget the ZOZO?
I hate this too.
The last one I'd like to share is maybe the worst one. It's the 12 days of coronavirus in the 2020. So it.
I think Allison is actually physically getting ill.
I won't sing the whole thing, but it goes.
No,
like
you
this.
Can.
This
no, you must.
You have to.
Okay.
You know, okay, I've set myself up for this. I did. I was just cackling when I, because they're all on like the best selling ornaments. Like they're like, these are the top ones.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of people that are going to have
the
these
dregs of, oh man. All
no,
right.
They're like the top. Okay.
So on the 12th, the 12 days of Christmas Corona gave to me is what we're.
Yeah. The pandemic gave to me 12 canceled plans, 11 face masks, 10 sanitizers, 9 murder hornets. 9 murder hornets, 8 Zoom calls, 7 mental breakdowns, 6 feet apart. That's good. 5 curbside pickups, 4 quarantines, 3 travel restrictions, 2 Karens complaining, and a massive shortage of TP.
Nailed it.
I think that's a really
nailed it.
That's a really bold move to say 2 Karens complaining for an ornament that is clearly being marketed at Karens.
To like, and by Karens, yeah.
It's so bold.
Yeah, like self-aware Karens, if that's possible.
So those are, yeah, those are the most cursed coronavirus themed ornaments. They are topping the charts on Jeff Bezos's little experiment. And yeah, they're the worst shit I've ever seen. But they're all three of those are in the top 10 right now.
Now is he the YouTube guy, Jeff Bezos, or who's
I don't
that?
Think he's managed to get to YouTube. I think he should probably start a channel, though. I think it would be very well received.
These are all like, if there was a conversation starters for dummies 2020, like these are all like, how about the murder hornets? Am I right?
Already imagining a scenario where I discover that someone I like has these ornaments.
I mean, I'm buying all of them.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't presume to say you like me, but these will all be on my Christmas tree.
I have found all three of these off of Amazon. If you're not doing Amazon, you can still get these hideous ornaments. And I feel like I'm going to get one.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. Yeah.
Just as like a relic, not as a. I'm not even gonna hang it up. I'm just gonna put it in a drawer, and then someday my children will be like, "What's that?" And I'll have to sing that song to them.
Why do you think YouTube is on that first one? Just I know this is not the most the silliest thing. Why did they just find out about YouTube during the pandemic? Do you think?
Well, as the graphic designer, I just learned about YouTube earlier this year, and so it's been a big year for me and YouTube. And I'm not gonna describe this one, but there's so many fonts, and YouTube is not the YouTube font but there's more than one ornament that says YouTube on it, as if we've all agreed on this. I don't quite get it.
Did they?
Maybe the idea is like you finally have time to stay home and watch YouTube,
like we've always dreamed.
Yeah. But like, do they think that that's what people who are doing? Do they think TikTok is YouTube?
Oh, that's
wait,
a good
is
theory.
TikTok YouTube? Am I?
How would we ever know?
I don't. There's no way to tell you guys.
That's actually a good call.
The font situation in the one you just sent is awful. There's season, like,
so many fonts.
Essential
so
Workers
mad.
Is in a like horror movie font.
Yep.
Virtual learning, just the use of white space, and I'm not a graphic designer at all, but the use of white space under virtual learning is very upsetting to me. I hate this one. I hate
it's
the most
gross.
Just on aesthetics. Face masks, there's too many serifs happening.
It's very ugly. Thermometer is in, first of all, it just is thermometer.
Yeah.
In unreadable cursive.
Wait, where is that?
That's I just sent a fourth.
You sent a fourth?
There's so many.
Thermometer. Hey, what about these thermometers? I think that's one that even like the worst like conversation starter attempt like would still be like, what? Huh? What do you mean?
Right.
How about this year, right? 2020 with the thermometer. Am I right? You know?
And these essential workers.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's brutal.
Oh, birthday parades. Okay,
birthday parade. Yeah.
Very bad job of writing parade. That is a nightmare.
The horror font that says essential workers is just straight up offensive. That's really, that one is a bad one.
They did do it in a horror movie font.
I hadn't even noticed that. Like, but it is a total that.
Yeah. Like someone wrote that in blood on a mirror.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I showed these to you, but I couldn't keep the fact that someone somewhere is making a ton of money off making these hideous ornaments, and people seem to be on board. If you've purchased one of these ornaments, reach out to me.
What's something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated is, and hopefully you guys share this with me, but Hostess cupcakes, specifically the orange kind. I like orange Hostess cupcakes. I can only find them in some convenience stores. I can never find them in a grocery store. I can never find them in a pack bigger than two. Sometimes they just don't have them. They sustain me sometimes when I'm like, I don't know, really stoned or whatever. But they're delicious. I don't know if you guys have fucked with the citrus.
I mean, because in my mind, the Hostess regular one is the chocolate brown one with the white swirly on top, right?
And then
this is the one except it's orange colored.
Yes.
And it's orange flavored because, to you know, truth be told, I've only messed around with the normie, the norm core.
Just the icing, and I do want both of you to treat yourselves.
Okay.
I mean, so you guys haven't experimented with the rest of the Hostess catalog? Have you guys had a snowball before?
I'm host curious, but I haven't fully dove in yet.
Oh my gosh.
I've definitely had a snowball. Snowball is the one that's like more marshmallowy than you would expect, right?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Snowball's the pink, like coconutty, marshmallowy one.
That's one that, like, in theory, I should be super into, but the marshmallowness of it all doesn't really do it for me. Boy.
Jack, show me your praxis. Get into it.
Yeah. I've never had the orange, but that sounds so. There's like a citrus tang that they've infused into the.
Yes, the icing has a little bit of a citrus tang. I'm sure it has absolutely no nutritional value.
Oh yeah,
we're not asking about that. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. There's no vitamin C in there or any of that bad stuff. But
you need to fight off scurvy.
I mean, this is like, if we're going to be trash Americans, like, this is what America is unique for, is like, it's not, we, America doesn't have any cuisine. We have fucking Hostess cupcakes that are made with all sorts of unnatural sciences that make it so that they don't break down over the course of 20 years. Like, they'll still be moist if you leave them open on a shelf for 20 years. That's our offering to humanity.
I mean, my favorite flavor since a very young age is blue raspberry, and I don't think that's real. Yeah. I don't think blue raspberry is a thing.
Mine's mystery. That's my favorite flavor. If we're going on straight up airheads.
Are we talking
flavors.
Airheads? Yeah.
Yo, when you got that, you're like, yo,
blow pops.
And then it took one asshole to be like, it's cherry. I'm like, get the fuck out of my face with that. Shit, this is fucking mystery, fool.
Wait, I thought mystery was just a rotation of different ones without the food coloring, so you couldn't tell what it was.
Technically it is, but I feel like they just relied on like maybe two flavors. Whenever a mystery was a blue raz, I lost my mind.
Running through the streets.
You become that gif of the dude with the kid with the dreads and the wind blowing back.
Whoa, whoa. I actually am the kid in that. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah, when Blow Pops made it so that you could do the blue raz, that was a big day for me.
Did you have that thing with the Tootsie Pops? If like you had the wrapper with the star on it, you'd be like, I demand another one for free. There was a urban legend that if you had the one that had a star on top, you could exchange that for a free one.
Yeah,
I have never heard of this.
That was born out of my school, like, snack hut that they would have at the end of the day where you could go and like buy like a fucking thing for like 25 cents. And there they would be like, okay, if you got that, you can come back and we'll give you another one. I tried to do that at like a liquor store and they're like, get the fuck out of my face. And I was like, oh,
fuck out of here, man.
Sorry, I didn't know.
I think we had that at like the, I think we had that at like the fair at my elementary school. So, but yeah, I guess it's not legally binding.
This is not legal tender.
I tried to put a down payment on a house with that in my 20s, yeah, and it didn't. No.
We're like, excuse me, I have 40,000 of these right here.
So like, we only accept Monopoly money, okay?
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.